Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, here we go on this Monday morning following the Cowboys' Week 17 loss to the Eagles. It's the KNC Masterpiece. Happy New Year, everybody. Will Chambers in for, well, take your pick, Kevin or Corey. But I've got both. Mike Bassick with me.
You're good enough to do both at the same time.
Some heavy lifting over here then today, just here right before New Year's. Alec Medford back there. We'll have some AM on the FM next hour. We've got Carter Freeman back coordinating the video on YouTube and Twitch. Appreciate you hanging out with us. No matter what you may be doing, I don't know if you're back to work or not. I wasn't expected to be back to work today, so to speak.
You're huge, huh?
So I did not, I'll be honest with
everybody. I have no fear Will Chambers is here.
It's more the fact that, so I had a tea time planned that was tentative for yesterday if I was going to get cleared for to play because I had some tendon issues in my forearm. So I haven't played in a while. And, but, you know, hopefully Kevin be feeling better. He's just under the weather, but was needed to come in. I was like, all right, I'm already going out there. So I had the iPad hooked up, you know, in the cart to watch the game. The pick six happens. I'm like, okay, but then the Cowboys go down and score. And then about three series later, I was like, you know what? I should be paying closer attention to this game, considering I'm going to be talking about it tomorrow. And the guys just looked at me and like, why?
Yeah, what do you want us, like, if you're listening, what do you want us to break down about 41-7? Cooper Rush, who, I mean, if he is here next year, has to play 4 to 6 games because we know Dak's going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a lot of it is, like, CeeDee Lamb's not out there, so
it's
I don't even know if Rico Dowdle's going to be on the team next year. It's really tough to watch it from a developmental standpoint when you're just like, who am I watching that could be a potential star next year? Overshown's obviously out, you know, like he was trending towards like maybe being a star. So, you know,
how do you get juiced up to be like, you know what? I want to know how much depth we're going to have next year by watching some of these guys. And I think, and that's honestly the only question that I would even have for this team, but it's not sexy. It's not drawing my eyeballs. And that's ultimately what it is about with the Cowboys, is it not?
Yes. Yeah. Now, as you said that, the Cowboys are horse manure almost every year in the preseason, right? I mean, I get that they're not trying, and a lot of teams aren't trying nowadays.
And the Ravens are 4-0 in the preseason every year, and they're not great every year, but it's not going to tell
you. We are 6 weeks away from Rangers spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Now, CY, Chris Young, and other people, it's not just him, will tell you, the only thing about spring training that matters, it shows your organizational depth. Winning and losing games in spring training shows your organizational depth. It's really not about Corey Seager or Nathan Eovaldi or Jacob deGrom. You want them to come out healthy and ready to go. I don't care if Corey Seager goes 0 for 40. I don't care if Jacob deGrom gives up 20 runs in 20 innings, as long as he's throwing the ball the way that we know he's supposed to throw. And I know those are extremes, but it's like, what spring training shows you, and I do think this is what, you know, you kind of alluded to it during crosstalk, and I'm adding to it here, is what we see in preseason is crap football, but what we're seeing is the depth of an organization, players 30-ish through 70-ish, and I know someone won't even make the team. We're seeing, hey, how deep is your team? Can you handle injuries? That's what training camp is showing you, and we find almost every year going over your numbers of 32% of the cap is given to 4 guys, 31% of the cap is given to 8 guys.
With Philadelphia,
on Philadelphia.
Right.
Is you see that this is a super crappy team with depth. And so why watch yesterday once it's 24-7 at halftime? Because you've seen in training camp and you've seen in preseason football games, this team has no depth. They don't have NFL players on their team. Players 40 through 80 in preseason, nobody wants. The Cowboys have to keep 13 of them. But nobody really wants those players because the Cowboys aren't a depth organization.
That is the biggest question I have coming into this season. Because it was, you're like, okay, Jonathan Hankins, Stephon Gilmore, Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, Neville Gallimore. Individually, you look at them, you're like, well, this person was going to cost this. This person was going to cost that. Right? We had all these discussions. Tony Pollard's a great example, right? Didn't want to pay the money for the position. But as we were going through the offseason, I know CA and I would talk about this on Saturdays. We'd be like, okay, you realize that you need human beings to actually, you know, fill those spots. Who's going to do that? And we'll talk with Stephen Jones at noon today. And part of the question I have is, why weren't the, you didn't replace those guys. You already had players on your team that are now taking those positions. Chauncey Golston is going to come in and be, a heavy player with that. He'd only started three games, you know, in his, you know, career leading up to this year. So it isn't that big of a surprise to me that we are where we are, because a lot of the guys, if you had 12 wins last year, third consecutive year, a lot of those guys were all a part of it. And like I said, individually, you could say, well, it didn't mean much to, you know, like we didn't want to pay for that or this or that. But then once it becomes a bigger group, now you have got a problem. And how is it going to get any better? Because if you are too tight in order to keep those players, who are you bringing in for next year? Is this going to get any better? I don't know how it does.
You're 9 draft picks, approximately, right? Because they have extras. But it's very tough to ask Mike, college
kids. That is why
kids.
I have been saying to trade Micah. Not because Micah is not going to be, you know, maybe the best defensive player in the game.
Okay.
No, he absolutely is. To me, my opinion is you're 4 guys away from being 4 guys away. And the only way to accumulate more players and talent at those positions, if you're going to pay Micah Parsons along with Dak and CD and Trayvon Diggs and the issue that they have, you better do it with rookies, right?
I'm with you, except this. We see this team without Micah Parsons. It was one of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my life as a Cowboys watcher, I will say. I've been a fan for a long time. I don't call myself a Cowboys fan anymore.
But it was pretty bad when he was in it, too, earlier this year.
So where I'm going back to is 2020. It was a pathetic defense. And they draft Micah Parsons. I'm like, this is going to be that was pathetic. One guy can't help. And this was before we saw Micah play in the NFL, and it turned out to be a pretty good defense. And I will disagree somewhat with what you just said, because I feel like all of a sudden this pathetic defense, and I did see on the watching the game yesterday, I believe that they are now 0-9 when they give up 27 or more points. So all of their losses, they've given up 27 or more points. So I was like, wow, every game they lose, they're giving up pretty much 30 or more points. But I do think when Micah came back from injury this year, all of a sudden the defense turned a corner and was an average NFL defense. They still have their deficiencies, and to your point, there's no way to fix it. But I feel like, to your opinion, if you get rid of Micah Parsons, and I know what you're saying, get rid of him, like get 2 firsts and a third or something
Parsons as a name. It's like, I want to get rid of an asset in order to bring back in multiple players. If it could be somebody else, I would say somebody else. And
I'm with you because you're saying Micah Parsons isn't the problem, but he's maybe the only solution of
to
trading,
the problem.
Nobody wants Dak Prescott.
You nailed it. That's it. Micah Parsons is the biggest part of your defense, no question about it. And you're going to be way worse without him. But the problem is, to me, is now you are compounding the issue of what you already had coming into this year.
Yeah.
Of the cap hit that you have with Dak, with Diggs, with CD, and with Micah. Now, are you going to be able to manipulate that money to open things up? Well, according to, you know, Stephen, and we'll ask him, you know, about this at noon and how it's going to get any better if you're going to have to be, you know, what do you say, tighten up the old belt? How? Then how is it going to get any better? I don't see it. It's not just injuries, because we saw before injuries happened that it was awful the first month, right?
Yes.
That's where I'm like.
Well, yes, because the Saints game, yes. The Baltimore game, I'm forgetting if that was week 3, I believe.
I think
it was,
so,
because
yeah.
they were 0-2, Baltimore, yeah. and that's when they get their win and they destroy the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys make a late comeback, almost, you know, make it a game, but get destroyed for most of the game. So
yeah.
I'm with you there. But this is the way the Cowboys have done it pretty much since the salary cap was instituted in 93-94. And Jerry and Steven will look at it and say, well, we've been successful. We make the mm-hmm. playoffs. I don't know. I'm going to say approximately 50% of the time under this system. And that is probably, if you look at the odds in the NFL, that is barely beating the odds. You're above average in making the playoffs over the last, let's say, 25 years. I'm not saying well above average, but probably barely above average. For them, that's ultimate success.
Mm-hmm.
So why change something if I'm making the playoffs approximately 50% of the time, getting my ass handed to me every time I make it. But if I'm making the playoffs, and that's the only real goal of the Jones family, because it's the number one topic in all of the sports world is the Dallas Cowboys. As long as they make the playoffs 50% of the time, why change my formula?
Yeah, well, and here's where... In the prior 3 years, and for a good portion of the team's history, or certainly since I've been here, the only times that you have had really awful seasons, there's been one thing in common. Quarterback has been knocked out for the year. Cowboys don't have really a lot of, at least in the last decade or so, a ton of 8-8 or, you know, 7-9 or, you know, however it was right. back when it was 16, now 17, right?
Right.
It would be
extreme.
10, 11, 12 wins. Or the quarterback would go down and they'd be awful, right? That's how it would happen. I can't fault them for how they've been able to put a roster together. Last year's roster was good enough to win a Super Bowl, in my opinion. I think the 2 years prior, the same thing. And we've seen them in off seasons, like that one off season where they got Hooker, Curse, Keanu Neal, those guys that were kind of on bargains. And they end up being, you know, some really key defensive players for you. It wasn't their fault that they lost in the playoffs. I mean, maybe if you want to go to some abstract, you know, because it's a country club.
Was that losing to Garoppolo?
I don't know.
Is that the year you're talking about?
Well, no. I mean, all three of those years. Like, they went 12 games.
I thought you were talking about, like, the first year they brought him in, it wasn't the defensive fault that they lost bringing
right.
in those defensive players because Dak played.
That was Micah's... first year, was that his rookie year?
I believe so, because you lose to Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Then
Purdy, I think.
And then you lose to Purdy, and then you lose last year to Jordan Love. So those are your last three playoff appearances.
And we those
and you beat
those three
87-year-old Tom Brady.
Yeah. Those three losses with the win in there, the playoffs, I think is a completely different conversation. They should feel like, hey, we had the product that we put out there, the talent that we gave or we had accumulated and put together was good enough to do it, and it didn't happen. And it was almost to me like, well, now here we have to pay the consequences to it. And I go, all right, if you really don't want to rebuild.
I have a question off of what you just said.
Okay. I was just going to say, if you don't want to rebuild
ahead,
and you want to turn it around really quick, that's the way to do it. With Micah, I wish I had other answers to
do
it.
Do you believe the Jones family got arrogant after going 12-5 for three straight years? Or, you know, that they were like, it doesn't matter what we do. We have the core. We're going to, now it's just about winning in the playoffs. We have a 12-5 team no matter what we do.
It's changed.
Did they get arrogant in the offseason and just go, we're 12-5. Don't worry. We're establishing that every year.
I honestly thought Jerry was pissed. And I thought when he said, we're all in, I said, think about what all in means. When you go all in, you've shoved your chips in. You don't have anything left. And I thought maybe it was Jerry going, yeah, I've already put everything all in here. Now you guys need to figure it out. Yeah. And that's why there wasn't a lot of moves and all that. Now, obviously, you know, stemming off of, you know, the last 2 weeks talking about how, okay, all in was getting CD and Dak done. That's the way I looked at it. Could there be an element to that of saying now it's arrogance? I don't know what it is. I know that it was not smart because it just did not pull in enough talent behind the guys that you needed. Or just for contributors. Hankins, Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler, how good they look last night. Can you imagine them? They're not world beaters. I see Alec back there shaking his head, right? Those are guys that you had on your defense as part of your rotation to make plays. And now with the injuries that you had this year with Lawrence, you don't have those guys anymore. And that's why they sucked even before, you know, Lawrence and Micah went out. That's how I kind of stood with it.
I'm with you. I hear you.
877-881-1053. Franklin Frankel, injury attorneys, fan text. Kevin and Corey out today. So, hey, I'm Will. I'm here with our friends Mike and Alec with Carter Freeman back there too.
Yeah, we didn't even, Alec, have you said anything yet?
I have not, Mike.
All right. Well, that's enough. Let's. What's coming up next?
Sorry, I didn't mean to suck the air out of the pimp cup. If I did so, but coming in hot here today.
Making sure Alex there.
No, you were giving me some good ideas for content. Don't worry.
Okay. This is actually, it just occurred to me. My first ever show was with Kevin right here 5 years ago and maybe a week. And I think this is the first time I've been back doing the midday show.
A better job, like me and you. Did you feel like
I felt the vibe. Yeah. I felt the vibe there.
All right, Kevin. In your face.
Baseball Nuggets, end of this hour. And, of course, we'll have Mickey Spagnuolo at 11 o'clock to help us answer some of those questions that we just brought up. And, again, hit us up on the fan text as well as on Twitch and YouTube. I got it up right here.